when she's been, and
like a BB moment, which is like a beautiful black moment. Did we get any of those in this episode?
Black.
We have a chaotic bi moment of the
chaotic bi moment. And you're watching Black Bi Reality.
Black Bi Daddy.
And those who love us.
Hello, you are watching and are listening to the Black Bi Reality Podcast, a podcast for Black Bi Baddies and those who love us. We are finally at the finish line of Love is Blind Season 8, Minneapolis. I'm your host, Nicole Weaver, an entertainment writer currently writing over at Pop Heist. I suggest you check it out, especially since I wrote a piece about this reunion and the men flopping. They flopped hard. And Princess Weeks is here with me to talk about the flops. Hi, Princess.
Hello. The flops was a flopping, but, you know, it was entertaining. The reunion was definitely the entertaining episode of this season, so I'm glad for that, at the very least.
Absolutely. Ooh, I mean, so much has come out. These men were trying to keep everything under lock and key for as long as they could, but one thing that will always get them is that, like, 8 months, 8 to 12 months in between the altar and filming this reunion. It trips them up. They always act like, oh my gosh, it's finally happening. And it's like, you should have done all these things before instead of cramming in your homework.
Literally. And even Jimmy is getting strays from a year and a half. You
As
know,
he should. I did not like Jimmy at the end of that season. Him acting like him and Chelsea could be cool was very convenient. I was like, ooh, I see what you are doing. And maybe it was also beneficial to Chelsea because anything she would have said, the public would have jumped on. But I so think Chelsea deserved, like, a few licks in at that reunion.
Yeah, it was, I watched that season and it was very painful. Like, I have found, like, the more that I've watched Love is Blind, I'm like, dating men is very painful. Like, heterosexual dating is very painful. And I found a lot of what was said at the reunion to be, like, you know, as someone who writes about pop culture as well through, like, an intersectional lens, I'm like, it's so astounding that these men want to be with women who are so politically and emotionally different from them, and their only response to that is, oh, well, we don't have to be totally in sync. I'm like, where is the discernment when they're dating? So I just, we'll get into that.
It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous, and it's like, they just know they have to do less. And it's just an unspoken entitlement. Okay, maybe you were liberal when you were young, but it's time for you to get married and lock that ish down and move your politics over. We did get one married couple, though,
yes.
And boy, Daniel and Taylor, they're still together. There was a lot of American flag and eagle symbolism.
Yeah.
Talking about Christmas once again, but the biggest update is that he got her eyes tattooed on his chest.
Girl, when I saw that, I was like, well, so someone else online said it, well, there's a way to make sure that your wife never wants to do missionary again. And I was just like, and I died because I thought, yeah, I would not want to have to look into mine own eye during a all I could think was, oh, sweet baby child, no, you know, why, you could have just, and also, like, if you just gotten her eyes, maybe, but it's the brows, the nose, the rectangle.
He said he needed all of it, and she's, I guess, making the crinkly face. I've never seen her make this face before.
She looks a little different, because I think that, like, she's definitely lost some puffiness to her face that I feel like was, like, a part of it. But, like, you know, if she likes it, God bless. I mean, it's her face, so.
I will say, by the end of this reunion, we learn nothing more about them. And they are
good for them, though. Good for them.
Exactly. I was like, no one can have any strong opinions about them because we truly don't know them.
Yeah.
Now, we learned a lot more about these two, Devin and Virginia, at this reunion. I mean, what was your reaction to all this?
Well, first of all, that voice change, I was like, okay, Virginia, she big ups now. She like, all right, we're going to break it down.
Mm-hmm.
Everything she said, like how she's just like, he doesn't feel comfortable saying his values, but I'll tell you what mine are. I was like, oh, she read him down expeditiously, eloquently. The bop was bobbing, you know. And I've seen some people who are like giving her grief for this of like, oh, what she tried to do, call him a bigot? Yeah.
If I have to say, I validate like other religions and the way they speak to God. It's like different languages. And then add, I have Muslim people in my family.
Yeah. And he refutes none of it. The thing that drives me wild about him is that every time he gets caught in one of these situations, he will just deflect, but he will never answer the question back.
Nope.
Like, he's just like, you know, I don't think we need to be aligned in everything. But what, say the things, man. Because if she's saying that she believes in reproductive rights, queer rights, all these kind of things in other faiths, so what don't you agree with? Say what it is. And that's the thing that I find so frustrating is, like, you know, this season, a bunch of conservative people have been really, you know, coming for the women and yelling at them. And to me, I would ask, why are these conservative men not being with conservative women then?
Yes.
Isn't that what you want? Like, if you are so proud of your faith, your beliefs, and you're staunchly pro-life, why do you want to be with someone who's pro-choice and who, you know, believes in the gay agenda? Like, I don't even understand from a conservative standpoint why you're mad about
this.
It's
not about that. It's about control.
Yes, control. Yes.
They want to control women.
Exactly.
It's not enough that you believe that way. It's that everyone should be okay with what you believe, even if you have negative beliefs that could affect other people. And also, eventually, yeah, you should believe what we believe, or else you're going to hell. It's like just the most controlling belief when you believe in a very controlling God.
Yeah, and that's been very frustrating just to listen to, because I'm just like, I don't know what you guys want. Like, stop. Why do you want us so bad? Leave us alone. Leave
Truly.
Us alone. And I think when she was talking about like the birthday celebration, it was just the joys of dating a cis man, of like, you could have got all of that. And the thing about too, how she described it, I felt that generationally, you know, like everything she said just felt so true to character. And he, again, had nothing to retort. And even the Trek situation, even in the most generous reading of that mess, he's
okay.
childish.
Can
he's
we childish. Also talk about these same conservative men? I mean, look at Dave. Dave went with the fallacy of the fame-hungry woman who's after him. They love the money-hungry woman, but they're
for clout.
There's nothing more selfish than a man. Nothing more money-hungry, sex-hungry, all of that than a man, and they don't get any flack. So you can get all of these expensive gifts that are catered to your interests, because when you gave Virginia a gift, that was about you. You put your name on that, saying this is going to be your name. But it's ownership that he was like trying to stamp on. It wasn't about her interest or anything.
Yeah.
And she goes out of her way, and then you want to hide a little $1,000.
For what, your next pair of shoes?
Let me find out you didn't also pay for anything, because we just
saw
this last week.
Yeah.
We saw this last, season with Monica and Steven. She was like, you're going to Venmo me right now after you got caught texting another woman, because I have been paying for everything. You haven't been working. But they don't get branded as money hungry people
Cloud
that
chasers.
We need to be wary of. Well, I'm gonna say it. Do not take on a selfish man. He will drain you.
And what's also so funny about him and a lot of the other men is that, like, you know, and we'll get into this also with Sarah and Ben, is like, after they get together and after they break up at the wedding and they cry and they talk about, oh, I still care about you, and the women do, given as women do, because it sometimes it does be like that, they, once they have the power back, that's when they ghost. That's when they're like, okay, well, now that I have you back in my crosshairs, I'm gonna leave you. And then it gets redirected on the women of being like, well, but didn't you say no? And it's like, but they wanted to connect. They wanted to reconnect. Like, Ben said at the altar that he still wanted to date Sarah.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow that's totally being ignored to kind of put more onus on Sarah for being like, well, we were reconnecting or at least having some kind of conversation, and then he ghosted me. And somehow, despite him saying with his own words that he wanted to be with her, that's being ignored to critique Sarah's politics even more so. Same thing with Virginia. It's like, you know, yes, she may disagree with his politics, but she also knows him as a person. Mm-hmm. She might even want to see if she can reach him because they did have a connection.
Mm-hmm.
And he ran away.
Do not reach him. That's the thing. That's the thing, is that they don't say anything mm-hmm. to even give you that hope. And the minute you are married or have a kid and you can't go nowhere, hell is going to rain on you, especially with those politics. A man who is anti-choice is not going to be a good parent. it's just not.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't see you as a person.
Mm-hmm.
You're a vessel that his child that he gets to slap his name on after 9 months.
Right. And it's like, if that's the case, communicate that, dog. Like, I don't, like, again, they I don't won't. I don't know why the, I don't know, like.
You know why.
I mean, I do know why. I do know why. What I think I'm trying to say is that this whole experience, like watching this, the reunion, solidified for me, I could never do reality TV. I could never do this.
Not dating
reality TV, because this shit is so diabolical.
Yes.
Diabolical.
Yes.
The revelations, like the Joey stuff, we'll get to it. Diabolical.
When it was coming out, I was like, oh no, princess. Oh no, princess.
I, like, literally, I looked at myself in the mirror and I was like, clown. Clown. Clown.
Never.
You know,
you're never a clown.
Like, it happened to me again. Because it's so weird to genuinely think that you're having a connection and then have to be forced to go back through a relationship, you know, a year after it's ended, and then see it happening, and you're like, I was like, no, I felt so bad for Monica. The beat was beat, though.
Monica is so gorgeous. That's just, like, yeah. Everything she was doing in this, I'm just like, this one right here.
I don't know what Joey was thinking. And then his hair keeps getting more greasier the more he's sitting there. Like, that's an ancestral hex being put on you. Her Chilean side is going at you right now.
Uh-huh. And the sister, too. The sister. Now, I'm like,
Justice for Nicole.
Justice. For Nicole, I left her picture in here. Don't you worry. One thing about me is that I'm going to say justice to a woman, especially a Nicole. She's like, this man is an actor. And we were like, how so? And then what did this man do? Act until he couldn't anymore.
That's Adrian Brody right there. Like, that's Adrian Brody right there. Deadass. Like, I was gobsmacked. And when we saw that deleted scene that they played as well, that's been making the rounds of Joey's friend group talking about how, like, he wasn't interested in marriage, how he had no interest. And then I'm like, but you came here to do the thing. And that's what makes, like, again, Dave's critique of Lauren and all these things so frustrating, is like, the women overall apply to be here looking for a connection, and the guys get acts to come in. And it shows so much here in certain ways, because I'm like, you knew how you felt, and you still took it all the way to the altar to tell her no. I was so hoodwinked.
Here's my thing. I don't know if the imbalance is that strong, because also all the women who apply do not get on, because as much as the Netflix and Kinetic content wants to say that this show isn't about looks, you think Lauren's side quest did not apply for this show? By the way he was acting, he wanted to be on the show so bad, he made himself a cast photo.
A poster. Mm-hmm.
And he didn't make the cut. So I think they try to get specific type of women, and because I think society is like marriage, I think both men and women are like, okay,
I didn't expect this, but I'll consider it. And then, but women stay ready. Women will better themselves when they're single and when they're in a relationship. Men never, they don't have the same mindset of, I need to, as the advice for single women always is, you need to work on yourself and then mm-hmm. you'll be ready for a relationship. Men don't tell each other that.
Also, leave me alone. Maybe I don't want to love myself. I want someone else to put in that effort. I got to do enough during the day. I got to wake up and care about myself too. Leave me alone. But like, you're so right. It is all of these different components. And I will say, every single woman on the panel today, even the one that I actually ended up not caring for, stunning. Mm-hmm. And I just kept thinking like, and this is what you're fighting over.
Mm-hmm.
It's embarrassing. And it really is emblematic of just like how the show has lost its way, because I didn't watch the first season. I came into it much later on, but I feel like from what people have told me from the first season and the first few seasons, it was definitely more genuine than what it has become now.
You missed the most chaotic black chaotic moment of season one.
I have to go back and watch it. You have to tell me which seasons are worth me going back and watching. Okay. If you tell me, I'll do it.
Okay. I will probably also tell you at the end. But
okay. Oh, your top five.
Exactly. This show actually started with a black bisexual man. Mm. And then that ish exploded on the trip. So you could probably guess why. Let's stay in this season. So one thing I wanted to point out, because this is what Jimmy got on for and then got away with later, and because it was all about Chelsea finally saying the thing, because she was probably so frustrated with all the heat she's getting. Yeah. But Jimmy had her meet someone that he hooked up with before, playing in her face. Now we find out Devin kind of did the same thing. She was like, oh, I saw a note from his mm-hmm. ex, and he's like, I don't consider her my ex though. And
it's crazy, like, crazy work.
Facts are facts. You dated her. It's an ex. That's something you probably should have told your fiance if you were going to have her around and right. she's going to be at the freaking wedding. Men do this. This happened on Love is Blind UK as well.
Lord. I don't know. Like, it really gives me so much energy. Don't they watch television? All this stuff always comes out. Stop being so weird.
Very weird. They think they're smarter than they are. Virginia claims, oh, this all ended on whether or not they, who ghosted who. Devin absolutely was a coward after that. And you know what? Whatever. We all know what he is. Yeah. I don't think he's getting a lot of hookups from being on the show.
I just, they're all doing, like, the guys, I'm just like, but you know what's the thing? The kind of woman that is going to be looking at him with affection is not the woman that he wants.
There you go. He knows he locked out on the best thing. She looked good, though.
Perfect. Purple is her color, and she knows it.
Like, one of the most stunning women on this show, and he let it flop. But he knew he was gonna flop. Like, this could have also been a self-sabotage thing. I don't know.
Yeah.
But okay, let's talk about Sarah and Ben. I'm gonna admit I'm still annoyed with her ass. I'm annoyed that we're still talking about dating after she was like, I'm not talking about that right now, da da da. She seems so tired. You were going to move in with him in another city.
Yeah, you know, like, my devil's advocate thing for Sarah, if I had to give one, is that I was annoyed about that, because I just felt like, girl, cut the cord. And I think that she likes this guy. I think she really liked this guy, and that his politics were like the big hung up. And I think there was something in her that was just like, maybe we can find, like, even though she said so before, because it's such a small town, like, literally they're always meeting each other at bars, they're always seeing each other at these bars, mm-hmm. like, everyone is spotting them all over the city. I can, if I pretend to be like a white woman for a second, like channel that 13%. Mm-hmm. like, I can, maybe she's hoping that, like, this connection that they have, maybe going through the experience will, like, jumpstart his brain. I think that she needed to be away from him to realize how doomed they were. I think that she needed that separation. I think that the intensity of how quickly everything happens leads to, like, and then you have to make a decision right away. I think that they need to actually go through that experience of, like, having a having that final disillusionment of who these people are in order to really cut that cord. Because the process itself kind of, even though it's not the right, it kind of, like, Stockholm syndromes you to this person and that part of the experience. And I think that I'm glad that Ben ghosted her, because that really made her realize, oh, like, this is exactly what that girl was crying over him in that TikTok, which is what she said in the thing. You know, and I'm like, and then the whole Jimmy situation of it all, too. I'm like, I think that she needed this to wake up and realize that as much as they may have had chemistry, that was just never going to be enough.
Yeah. And him pretending to be so agreeable is, like, another thing.
Yeah. Just, like, laughing. Like, I'm like, what are you laughing about, Daryl? This is serious issues.
Yeah. So, basically, yeah, he ghosted. This is kind of similar to what the TikToker was talking about. And I get it at the moment. Sarah's like, she's not saying the thing. So therefore, I don't really know what happened. Ben stonewalling is not going to say what happened. But I think the big thing that you could have gathered if you watched the TikTok is that this person felt gaslighted by him and was like, playing down whatever was going on between them. And this is exactly then what he does to Sarah. He took it even further. He got to the aisle. She said no. He's still begging to date her, acting like he's just boo-hooing. And like you said, they then switch up once they think they have you. It's about her. It's a get back. Like, do not take them back. And they will guilt trip you. They'll be like, oh, so you never had feelings for me in the first place?
Right. Like, oh, so this was just a whole game to you. Maybe it was. What so if it was?
But that's, like, also telling on them. Because it's, like, absolutely a game to them.
And it's just, like, and I felt so bad for Sarah as well, because she was breaking out.
She had highs
so severely on that thing that I like, you know, this covers it up. But I was just like, this girl is stressed the fuck out.
Yes.
By this man, by this situation. And I think also, like, because people have critiqued Sarah a lot, calling her performative. And I think we've had our critiques of her as Black women as well, as we have, as we should be, because I feel like this was very much like white woman 101 liberal edition. And I will add to that. And I think that her response thus far has not been her pivoting right. You know what I mean? Like, which I think is a good thing. Like, I think that this, her seeing the backlash from these right wingers and also, like, being slightly gathered is going to make her stronger in her politics. I think that in the optimistic
way. I think being very hopeful.
Well, you know what? I want to be helpful for her because honestly, I cannot.
Because her whole thing is that she still says fiscally.
Yeah, well, she's going to have to learn. And I think that, like, I think as everything has been happening this year, the reality is, like, we do need allies. Like, we cannot carry it on our own. So this experience will help her figure some shit out. That's my optimistic want for it. Simply because, like, we need more people to feel like that. And the reality is that, like, by not marrying Ben, even though she did have the whole backtrack, that is a choice that some white women simply do not make. And that is just a part of it as well. So I hope that, you know, get that girl some bell hooks, child. Get her some Ida B. Wells. Like, actually be around Black people and not just your queer sister. Like, and I also feel like as well, I think about myself, who is also very politically minded. I think there's no way to not come off as performative on this thing if you're talking about it. Because I feel like that's also the edit that they gave them, because they don't talk about anything else. All we know about them are these political issues. So it's
A TikToker pointed something out about that.
Oh, I didn't see that.
So the one, his name, I put it in my article for Pop Heist 2, Petersky, who is the one who went to prom with Sarah and is the cousin of Molly.
Yes, I do know him. Okay.
He said that basically Ben would not answer producers' questions about his views anyway, since that's the main storyline, that's what they would be asking. He said that he was like allegedly like twitching and stuff, and they just could not use anything that he was saying. So then they had to rely heavily on Sarah talking to him, because that was the only way we were getting anything out of him. And even then, he was just kind of like flopping through those conversations. So as much as Ben wanted to become an influencer
with his star, YouTube cards, as a YouTuber, you couldn't even
handle reality TV confessionals, my boy.
It was too much. And I feel like that's part of why Sarah's narrative gets so overly put about how she cares about these things. And it's like, I do believe that she thinks that. And as a queer person, I talk about my queer stuff all the time, but I think it was definitely because there was just so little conflict besides that for them, just kept coming up. So as a viewer, you can't help but feel like you should know by now, because that's all we effing hear about every time you're on screen.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. It's just one of those things of like, I wish that we had more footage than what they give us, because I feel like what they give us has, especially with the Joey stuff.
Yeah.
I'm just like, I just don't trust them as the narratives of this story as well. I think that's also what I was kind of dealing with as well. Like, this is the first time I've watched every single episode of a season of Love is Blind. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, this show is so weirdly edited and produced and put together that I walk away feeling like I have spent no time with these people. And I just create a narrative for them in my mind.
Exactly. It's true. It's absolutely true. I look into the editing of this show to report all the time. A lot of this is just not the full story. Truly, the reunion and listening to these women speak, and it's only the women. I hardly have found a new perspective on things when the men talk at the reunions, that I get new perspective on things. And I feel you. We do need allies, and therefore, it's like, people have to go through the experiences they need to go through to come to it. I think I have less faith because of where we're at politically in this country. Mm-hmm. It's just like they fail every time. And it's like, I don't want to coddle and have hope only for me to be disappointed. Then I feel like I'm Sarah.
Yeah. No, I don't. The thing about it too, I think that she hasn't been coddled, if I were to say anything about it. I feel like people are dragging her. And I think deservedly so. Like, I don't want it to be like, oh, I think that she should be treated with baby gloves. I think that she needed exactly this experience. Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, if she, after seeing all the comments about her and her still saying that this matters to her, I think that's a good sign. But again, we will see who she marries in the end.
I agree.
Those pictures of her and Lauren together, though, I was like, that's cute. I can see it.
He's a straight woman.
I know. They're both so painfully straight, but they are, but they would be the perfect starter lesbian packet for each other.
So funny. I will say, Sarah got this man good when she said, now the TikTok makes sense.
Yeah.
He could not hide his frustration over that. When he had closed his eyes, he was sweaty as hell.
Yeah, right. Because they were dragging Andrea on social media. Like, people were really going for, like, oh, she was saying it for clout. And I feel like I'm glad she has gotten some monocle of validation from that, because I feel like that's a difficult situation to be put in, to, like, be in a situation where you're supposed to be parasocial, where you're encouraged to share your story time adventures about whatever you go through with the person online, and then you do that, and then it, like, totally backslides on you. So I'm glad that Sarah said that, and it kind of, like, at least validates some of what Andrea was trying to communicate.
But it wasn't even a story time adventure. That was, like, a raw reaction to seeing a man who has hurt you emotionally going on one of the biggest shows out there currently. That's, But let's move on to Joey and Monica. This Hamburglar.
Deception. I feel, oh my God, again, I felt like such a clown. Evil as plain as the hair on his head. Like,
oh my God. So, Joey and Monica, they say no at the altar after he rode in on a skateboard.
Longboard.
Girl, that's the point.
You're right,
you get
your
alternative black ass.
between my locks and your afro, okay, who's the more intelligent right now?
know. I know, because at first when I saw it, I swooned a little. I absolutely had a skateboard phase in middle school when I wore only black. I really tried and got nowhere. Couldn't even do a little ollie. And it sucks because as much as this gorgeous, smart, elegant woman said that she was going to say no because she wanted to leave with dignity, she made it so clear multiple times that she so badly wanted to say yes.
Absolutely.
And wanted to say no to save face. But are you still saying being face if you said that you said no to save face?
That's an Aries girl for you. She's like, she said, I'll play myself before they play me.
Yeah.
That's cut your nose to spite your face behavior, and I respect it. I get it, girl, because you're like, I'm not getting said no to, so that's just how it goes. I was really like, and I remember going back when we first talked about the golden retriever energy, and I was saying, like, that is sometimes a red flag. So there was a part of me before that was right. I failed in the end. But he missed a peanut butter, because that's what they all do. I was
Mr. Peanut Butter.
He Mr. Peanut Buttered so hard. And I'm so, and what was worse, like, his, like, how much that we didn't see of him being reluctant. How all the blame gets put on Monica's sister when he also had, like, when his lack of desire to be married was, like, literally never brought up at all, even though there was footage conversation of that. That, to me, is so duplicitous. Like we said when we talked about the episodes, like, where did any of that hesitation come from Joey? It was there. They just did not show it to us. Mm-hmm. And I think that's horrible, because for so much of their run, until you meet Monica's sister, they're like a goals couple. They're having a good time. I think it's totally retroactive to be like, oh, they friends on each other. I'm like, they were friendly. It's good that they were getting along. That's a good thing.
Yeah.
And I think that, like, that edit that they gave him was so awful. So awful. And then to find out that he slid into Madison's DMs.
Okay. Okay. Here's something I want to say about that. Okay. Because I clocked it when it happened, but I didn't say anything in the recap because there was so much going on. But when Madison showed up to that group event, you hear Joey say, who is that with the pink hair?
That is
someone his. Answered, oh, that's Madison. And he was like, oh. But it's like he was so awestruck by this bisexual and her pink hair, which, I mean,
facts.
That's what we do.
That's how it be.
I want my pink hair back. It's in my, like, icon for everything.
Right. I had the blue. You had the pink.
Oh, I did blue, too. I did blue with my breakup. My breakup braids.
Right. I won't hear that. We don't talk for a long time.
Yeah. And he was vocal, and now I'm like, did Monica clock that? Like, now I'm just like, oh, he's an actor, but he's also just a bad actor, because he still did that.
Yeah. And to DM her, to think about it, first mistake, to do it, second mistake, and to pick Madison, who I will defend later on. Third mistake. Because that's a snitch.
Yes.
Non-derogatorily. But that Madison will snitch on you. That's a girl's girl overall, like, in my
mind. This bisexual is the one that is so pro-women. Like, I feel like us bisexuals get such a bad rap, but over here, we're the Madison bisexuals. Okay? Okay.
She had, because, like, Madison and Molly had everybody's back. The one who didn't have people's backs, we'll get to them later. But, so, and I just feel like, what were you thinking to do something like that? That's so asinine. And so.
He thought he had plausible deniability, because what he said before he said he messaged Madison is that I messaged multiple people.
Ridiculous. No one co-signed that. Sarah?
What? And so he's just like, oh, I just, like, commented on the pink hair. And it's like, again? That means I was looking at you.
Yeah.
That wasn't actively. Even a flick.
yeah.
a slick message. Like, everyone knows what you're doing. This is, and then he tried to play these two women against each other, like men do.
And the way he scoffed at the idea of him trying to get with Madison, brother, my brother in Christ.
You
don't
wish.
Tell me. Don't sit here and play with my friend and tell me that you're not, that that's not a baddie to you. Please
you
stop.
You wish you did want that. And your sisters are over there. Like, at first they were so defensive of him, and then they stopped cutting to them. I'm like, no. Cut
keep
that.
Cutting. Keep the rotation. Because I hated that they were doing that in the first place, because that just felt very messy, because, like, one, that's their brother. And also, like, I don't know how much of the show that they even watched to get an idea of that. Because the edit of it itself does not feed into the cutting, so you know what already happened.
Mm-hmm.
So I just think that's just very messy in general. But mm-hmm. I'm like, it annoyed me to see them, because they were very much, like, mad at Monica. And I'm like, Monica's the one who's been wrong, guys. I hate to tell you.
But
I hate to tell you, but your brother was a man.
That's when you think your brother walks on, like, water. And here's the thing, again, to defend Dave's mysterious sister, you know who's not there, nodding along and having their brothers back, Dave's sister. We have to stop it and thinking Dave's sister even wants to be, she doesn't want to be publicly associated with him, because if she did, she would have showed up to this reunion.
She wants to be excluded from this narrative.
I know she's actually pissed at him. This is like, I would be pissed if I was the sister.
I would be pissed even if I felt all those things. He saying it in public television would make me pissed. But like, why are you even saying my business? Are we if private or not?
We're searching for her as if she was, like, his caretaker. Leave
right.
that woman out of it. But that's what men do. They're going to find any woman they can, mm-hmm. throw them under the bus to protect themselves. They're not protectors.
Yeah.
So he's telling Monica, oh my gosh, I think Madison's into me. Madison's like, where would you even get that from? Why would you say that? And then he apparently told Molly and them, oh, well, I think I made a joke. And it's like, again, him and Dave are twinsies. Because what does Dave love to do when he was talking about Lauren's appearance? Well, it was just a joke. You weren't into her. And we saw that. It wasn't a joke.
Yeah. It was giving twins derogatorily. It's like, and it was also frustrating because I saw someone on TikTok who had a good point of like, it is fair for Joey to have complicated feelings. Like, it's okay for people to break up. They don't have to say yes.
Yeah.
It's okay. It's one, the editing of the show, and then B, this weird way that he's acting about it at this reunion. Like, you say that you felt like you didn't have the chemistry, that even that the thing that happened with the sister turned you off, and it made you just kind of second guess because you yourself have a very harmonious home life. Honestly, if he had said the crotch spider, I'd have been like, brother, I understand.
Mm-hmm.
But instead, it's this whole, you guys were engaged and you were talking to another girl. You've been anxious about getting married from the beginning. Because, again, we have spent so much time seeing Lauren get critiqued for sleeping with someone and then going on the show, only to find out that Joey has been ambivalent or sketchy of marriage until he got on this show. Like, that to me is a problem how they presented these people. Because, like, we didn't get to see any of that conflict mm-hmm. until Monica gets her heart broken, essentially, and then only to continue to get it broken in this reunion where she gets gaslit about what was going on. I just think that's really messed up.
And Joey, if you're so ambivalent, why did you also audition for The Bachelorette? That audition video is going around being cringy.
Yes.
These men want fame. Dave.
they want fame so much more than the women.
Yep.
But the women get all of this thing. Because, like, because people are like, why are they going so far? Like, first of all, they're here to get paid. So
yeah.
I don't even shade them for that. But be yourself while you're doing it. Their authentic experiences are just so messy.
Yeah. I don't blame anyone going far. Because that's how it was supposed to be.
Yeah.
And then in most seasons, everyone's dropping like flies. I'm like, okay, at least we got multiple altar moments. But it's what you're doing as you drag this all out is like the problem.
Yeah.
So with Dave and Lauren, oof, I feel like this was a hot mess. I feel like both of these people have not learned a thing.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny because I feel like Dave might have come out probably the best of the dudes overall this reunion because he just took them L because he knew. I just feel like for Lauren, I feel like this is a lesson for the heterosexual women out there. You need to decenter men in terms of what you will allow them to put you through. Mm-hmm. Because I think that the amount that Lauren allowed this man to put her through was just so criminal. Because Lauren is very attractive.
Absolutely.
Like, she looks amazing. And I'm just saying, like, you are a 10 out of 10. And you are letting this scrub cause you so much agita.
Mm-hmm.
You have to go to therapy and decenter these men from your lives.
I still can't believe she said she looked at the pod episodes and she still thought they had a good connection.
She has to think that because she allowed herself to be embarrassed. Because she literally was fighting for her man. So I think that she's trying to honor those feelings, but girl, you have to dishonor the whole thing because he played in your face. And yeah. with the person that you and you're clearly that your friends mm-hmm. see you as is not at all what you were portrayed as on the show. Like the Lauren that I see talk is just so smart, so articulate. And she was just, there was a neediness to her that I recognize. And I know even in myself of wanting companionship, but nothing about Dave as a person, as an entity at all gives why anyone would feel that. Even Molly. I have no idea why these two really awesome women had interest in this man.
Molly snapped out of it.
Molly was like, I hate men. She said, I hate men all year. I was like, oh, girl, yes.
But here's the thing. At least Molly got validation. Because mm-hmm. Molly said he told me multiple times I was number one. And we saw it. He was talking about rings. I can't believe no one brought up. He asked her what rings she wanted.
Right.
And then Lauren saw things were slipping through and did the most in the pod. And also was like, well, Molly's talking about you and threw her on the bus. That's mm-hmm. where I'm like, Lauren hasn't looked at herself at all mm-hmm. of what she did. Because not only was Dave already making a decision, saving her from it. She was like, no, 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 come back. And by the way, I'm going to like throw Molly under the bus.
It's startling to me how similar the situation, how both the love triangles that we have this season, how similar they both are. But because we were able to see Lauren and Dave crash and burn, I think we were able to salvage Lauren's reputation. Because I think when Molly and Lauren left the pods, the idea was that Molly wasn't a girl's girl and that Lauren was kind of a pick me. That was the narratives about them. And through this entire experience of watching them date Dave and like dealing with the whole thing, they've both been able to a certain degree, I think Lauren kind of has to deal with a different kind of mess, but redeem their reputation. So I would have loved to have seen, honestly, what would have happened if like Megan Mason had gone forward on screen, because I have this idea that if that had was allowed to happen, how people would treat Madison would be totally different.
Mm.
Because a part of it is that they were just cut off from being able to have anything. So people were able to romanticize like Megan Mason's connection. I'm just sitting here like, girl, y'all give these men too much grace.
Here's the thing about Megan and Mason. These two men.
Speak on it.
Here's the thing. Why is Meg acting like Madison ruined something for her? When you left, both of you guys went home. Both of you started messaging, and he still didn't make you his girlfriend. I don't think they were ever officially a couple, because when they showed up to the group event, they said, oh, we're friends, we're seeing it, and now they're not even together. And yet, she is so angry at Madison. And it's like, why are you angry at Madison when obviously Mason doesn't like you?
Well, to me, it's like, even at the most cynical of being like, oh, Madison was manipulative, I don't think it is manipulative to tell someone that, listen, he said I was his number one. He recommitted to me. He's lying to you.
Yes.
Because that's exactly what he did. We all saw it. And I don't understand how they're throwing Madison under the bus for saying that she was acting two different ways. Mason, when you were with Meg, you were talking about ancient aliens and her and Christopher Nolan, and she was spreading her feet all over the goddamn couch.
Mm-hmm.
When you're talking to Madison, you're talking about twerking and nipple piercings.
Mm-hmm.
Making like it make sense.
You were serious in general, but Meg thought that was deep and like all of this. And then for Madison, I think she explained herself actually really well and stood firm in what she was saying, because Meg's like, well, you're contradicting. You called him manipulative. And she was like, I think me asking for him to clarify his feelings, then reassuring me, even though I pretty much knew I wasn't his number one, we weren't each other's number one. She said, I gave him an out to pick you, Meg. He did it. And Meg doesn't hear it. No. Meg does not hear.
But that's exactly what happened. It's the exact same thing that happened with, it's exactly like Lauren and Dave, except Lauren chose to be with Dave, even though, because Dave was like, no, actually, you were my choice. But Meg knew that wasn't the truth with Madison, because she knows Madison's a baddie.
Yeah.
So we know. And I just felt like it was, that's why I say if we had been allowed to see Madison and Mason actually date, yeah, and see them crash and burn as just themselves, people would be like, oh, Madison tried to help you grow. Because there's nothing about that relationship that makes any sense to me. Mm-hmm. It's totally a double standard. Do I think that Madison handled everything the best she could? No, but she talked about how traumatized she was. And yes, she trauma dumped, but that's also the edit that we got of her. So I do think that was messy to do, but I feel like they also encourage you to do that in them books that they give you.
And she's trying to see if she can be vulnerable with someone she potentially will marry.
And that's something that clearly meant a lot to her, which is why she ended up falling for Alex. And to me as well, with all the allegations about Alex that are out there, y'all can't sit here and tell me Madison's the bad guy.
No.
You can't sit here and tell me that and want me to be, and talk about how she's a manipulator when he's out here.
But here's the thing, is that you should never underestimate people's misogyny, because now I'm seeing, well, they both can be wrong when people reply to that.
Is ridiculous.
It is. But like, you should never underestimate how good it feels to people to pile on a woman. It makes no sense. Men could literally be criminals and they'll still be like, but what did the women do? Anyway, Mason apparently did apologize to Madison at the bar when they were out, and Madison said the switch up is crazy, because now he's like, I'm such a wounded bird. And really, he was emboldened by the public's reaction to Madison. That's what that is. He thought he was going to come here and have some explaining to do, but misogyny did its work.
And he was like, I don't have to do shit.
Exactly. The universe did it for them.
And it's like, so he's like, pat. It's like out here with ancient aliens, racist girl. And I'm supposed to be, my discernment may have failed when it came to Joey, but when it comes to Madison, all I'm hearing is that, like, she is the kind of girl that if you watch a 90s rom-com, the entire thing wants to humble. That's who she is. Jennifer's body. Like, she's Jennifer. She's that girl that y'all will make an edit and say that you love a baddie, but God forbid that baddie has actual trauma and is a real person. You will throw her under the bus every single time. So I'm just like, so she was a little glee. So yeah, she got some endorphins ever having two guys like her at the same time. As if Dave was, that's the show, guys. You're dating multiple people. She was a woman in Men's Fields. You have the whole hashtag for it. And when it's actually real, people act confused.
Here's the thing, is that Madison is what all these men want to be. And that's a lot of misogyny, too. It's like a lot of men are very jealous of women. And like the freedom that they might feel, the self-assuredness that they feel, they are so jealous. And that's why they paint them as fame hungry, money hungry, sluts. And it's like, we're living the life that you want to live. The jealousy I see.
This entire thing has got me so irritated, because I just do not understand the need to drag Madison down so low for three people who collectively are barely interesting, quite honest.
Like, it's not about them. It's about hating a woman. And a bisexual woman, too.
Bisexual, outwardly sexual, like, all her tattoos. Yeah. Like, she is both the dream and the nightmare. She is the aesthetic of a manic pixie girl, but her own person. And that's the worst thing that speed they want.
Yes. So all three of them, Mason, Meg, Alex, all fake. I'm not shocked that they didn't bring up the allegations, but I'm like, Netflix, they have had Alex involved so much with this season for as little that he actually plays a part. I'm like, you better not have him on No Perfect Match. And if you did that, are you going to disappear him like you did the other guy? Because fully disappeared a man from Love is Blind who also went on Perfect Match after something happened. I actually have a foggy brain. So,
no. And I know that people are saying that Madison might be going on Perfect Match, which I'm like, that's perfect. I would love to see it.
I'm scared for her. Every season of Perfect Match has had at least one bisexual woman. They did the woman of color, who was also bisexual, so dirty last season. Madison will probably fare better since she's white, but I'm just like, ugh, I am hesitant about that. But I know you probably had no clue who this man Ollie is.
No idea who Ollie was. I knew who AD was.
Yes.
But I did not know. But you know what? It was nice to see a handsome black man on the television. Look at his hair. So crisp.
Yeah.
So, is he bad? Is he bad?
Okay, so Ollie was on Love is Blind UK. He was with my girl.
Oh, he's British.
He's British. That's why he kept being, like, across the pond. Mm. So, he got engaged to Demi on Love is Blind UK. Okay. It was very weird. I was absolutely trying to root for them the whole entire time. Mm-hmm. But then, of course, things go the way that they go. And now I'm trying to think of what Demi said about him at the reunion.
Oh, she's cute. Wait, they actually have a curvy girl on here? I think I'm also shook by that.
It's
I'm
UK.
Like,
it's the UK.
See, I hate when they do good shit, because I'm like, damn.
The UK does reality TV, I think, better than Americans, but Americans are also just very addicted to drama, so they think our shows are better. But yeah, Demi was gorge. They had a relationship that very much seemed like friends, honestly, kind of like Joey and Monica. And I was like, okay, this seems like it could work. But then it didn't. It was Demi who said no. And I think she later on said she said no because Ollie was not showing like commitment like days before. So again, it was very much like Monica and Joey, and that she was saying no to save face because she could tell this man ain't it. Mm. So hopefully he found his actual person with AD, but I'm also very scared because we know AD's past. She could overlook some things.
I have to pray. This show is stressful. I don't know how you do this. Because this show, I'm so stressed. Because at the end of the day, I know I talk shit, but I'm a softie. I want people to be happy. Uh-huh. I want people to be safe. Like, hearing about what happened with the Love is Blind Mexico or the...
Argentina!
I'm just sitting here like, this is scary shit.
So scary.
And so I just, you know, I want people to be okay.
I'm sane. And when I saw that, I was like, what? Because I'm not trying to do all the international seasons. I watch UK because I don't need to have subtitles on and I can get through. But no, I think that's very valid. And it's something that I've obviously been thinking about even more. Yeah.
I'm tired.
Yeah. Agreed. But we have to do a beautiful black moment because there were some. Yeah. So what's your beautiful black moment of this reunion?
I want to say Virginia, but I think Virginia and her mother at the reunion, her mother just nodding along to her daughter, speaking her facts of her politics. And I thought that was very beautiful. I think that, you know, right now black women have really become the face of like the American political resistance. And even though this is like, you know, she still did pick that man for a while. So we'll do better next time, Virginia. But I just thought her standing up for herself, her putting on her big girl voice, you know, just like Virginia really made me very proud that she was just, she took whatever time that they had apart to really just recenter herself. And I think she really came through like so articulate and so fantastic on a season that was just really, really frustrating to watch.
For sure. For sure. I also wanted to say Virginia reading him down, but I will try to err on optimism and give Adie and Ollie their things, even though I very much think this was like so strategic, because the one thing everyone has been saying about season 8,
diversity,
and they were like, we swear if you watch Perfect Match, you're going to get a couple that lasts. They're engaged and they're sitting here. They spoiled the season because they are so worried of losing Black people as a viewership.
Yeah. Because we're very, because like online, like, you know, Storytime with Ricky is one of the biggest, you know, people on there. And it's like, you got to give us something. And I'm like, Denver? All right.
I don't know. Maybe. I think there are, I mean, there were Black people in Minneapolis. It truly was about the turnout and, like, honestly, also losing faith in the show. I think if we have more people, like the Black people in Minneapolis who basically were saying no to this, they're gonna be hurting.
Yeah.
Because you can't tell me, and it's not always a positive thing. We see Black women humiliated over and over on this show, but they still know that still pulls viewers in. They don't care whether it's a hate watch or a genuine watch, and mostly it's Black women trying to root for real Black women just trying to look for love on these shows.
Right.
So they don't want to lose us, and this was like such a grab. They're like, yes, Adie, plug your podcast.
Right, girl. Like, feel like, as like, I think that is a really good point. I don't know, unless you really believe in the experiment or you believe that it will do good to your reputation, I can't imagine you going on this show if you actually care about your fame. Because to be quite honest, I feel like I don't know anyone from Love is Blind unless they have a podcast.
But we still need to talk about our chaotic bi moment before we go.
Oh, you're right. The chaotic bi, wait, hold on. I think I have it in here.
Yes, that is in pulling.
The empty receipts. I was just like, girl, that I was like, sweet baby angel.
No. I think she did well. I think because Alex was fully planned, like he liked Megan Mason, but really it was just to get back at Madison. I know there's not a lot of smart people watching this show, so they won't get that and what she was doing. They'll be like, but he literally was laughing at you two doing your own reveal, which by the way, I am too. I am mad Netflix played that whack video. This is going to encourage more people who did not make it through. They didn't even date, guys. What are we doing here?
I know.
It wasn't worth it.
I think, you know, it's chaotic to me because in pure bisexual fashion, was there evidence on the receipts? Yes. Did the general public receive it that way? Absolutely not. You know, they thought Jesus was a liar too, Madison. So please don't be discouraged. But it was fascinating to just watch everyone's opinions and then be like, what does it even say? And I'm like, you guys don't know shade. You guys don't understand shade. But it was
Exactly, because there was someone who was like, oh, what does that even mean? Like, I could tell on
the skull emojis.
It was Mason. It was Mason who was like, what does that even prove? Mason, you don't even understand when someone's laughing at you. They're making fun of you.
They're all going to laugh at you. Yeah, it was just, I was just like, it was chaotic because I know that she came in ready to cook. She had her little titty. I was like,
yep,
here we go. She's like, the gays will understand.
Exactly. And freaking Molly, I'm going to give her a chaotic. Honestly, I don't know if it should be Molly or Vanessa Lachey, because did Vanessa Lachey try to out Molly? Did you catch that?
No. What? Oh, did I miss that? I did fast forward through certain parts. I'm not gonna
lie. It was so quick, but Vanessa was like, hey, so Molly, what have you been up to? Any boyfriends? Molly said no. And then she was like, okay. Then she was like, any girlfriends?
Oh, that part. And Molly was like, I just hated men the entire year.
I was like, where did that question come from?
I mean, maybe she was trying to be inclusive, not to give
Vanessa
a shame.
Vanessa's never worried about being inclusive. But you know what? Madison said on the Caitlin Bristow podcast that when she showed up for the pods, she did see a woman she saw on Hinge. I don't know if they matched, but they acknowledged each other. They were like, oh, yeah. I'm pretty disgusted with the people who make this show, but not the people who, not the black women who are on this show. So that's like the catch 22 of everything. It's like, if we can only have our own stuff, we have to share space with creepy men.
Yeah. The lack of vetting is just so egregious. And I just feel at this point, like they've just gone through this so many times that I'm like, there have to be repercussions for this. Like,
did we not go through a Me Too? Is no one not scared of one day dying in prison?
No, they're not. Because they have someone in power who clearly didn't go to prison for his own shit.
Like, what? But, Princess, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Joining me for this here boring, weird, white season, but
very political, though.
Very political, very bisexual, like lots of things were cooking in this. I think there was some good of us talking about it. Anyways, guys, Princess, where can people follow you?
You can follow me on Blue Sky as Princess M Weeks, only one S for that one. Everything else is Princess Weeks with two S's. And you can find me on TikTok as Princess Pendulum. And I am just so happy that I got to do this because I love you. We know each other for like a long time. And I'm just like, so I'm glad that now we can still keep talking about TV and pop culture together. That makes me happy.
Absolutely. If anything, I'm dragging you back for Aunt just like that. You coming back one way or the other.
Oh my God. That'll be the, if you do that, that'll be the only way I watch it. If I talk to you about it, I'm not watching this season. Because I'm just disgusted.
I know.
I'm disgusted. All of these progressive reboots have all failed in exactly the way I knew that they were going to. And it's so distressing because, like, you want so badly for it to work out. You want it to somehow be worth all the microaggressions. It just isn't. Like, it's just isn't worth it. I prefer the biphobic Sex and the City, to be quite honest with you.
Yeah.
At least it was entertaining, girl. I'm not entertained. Everyone is miserable and, like, doing, like, unfun shit. I just don't understand. It's really been a huge waste of time. I can't even say beautiful gals because I hate most of their outfits too. So it's like, what, Carrie's bird?
I have so much fun talking about the absurdity. It's just like, it's like straight drag to me at this point. It's like, it's gonna be bad, but they're showing something. They're trying something.
It's so surreal too, because you think about how like those actresses are about the same age as like the Golden Girls when they started Golden Girls, right? Golden Girls, it looks older because of how they style those women and everything, but they're fun. That's why that show went on for so long. They're having a good time. I'm sitting here watching Lisa Todd Wexley like not be able to say abortion on a show where she would say abortion, of having her mother microaggress her over wearing a bonnet. I'm like, you know, where I'm watching one of the big hookups is Brady and Lily. Why would I want that?
They did not confirm that. They did not confirm, and I'm like, what's going on there? I need answers.
Disgusting. A disgusting behavior. Hated every moment of it. Like, for every time that they do something that's, like, progressive and pronouns, mm-hmm. and I'm like, that's cute, they'll do something, like, have Che give a totally biphobic comedic sketch and then hook up with a child.
Yeah.
Like, not a literal child, but, like, the babiest of baby queers. And I'm just sitting here like, what? Who is this for?
Yeah.
Not me. Maybe you, Nicole, because you were trying to write it for that show, but I'm just disappointed. Anyway, I'll watch anything, one, but if not for you, I'm just going to go to sleep.
fair. All right, then, and I am your host, guys, Nicole Weaver. You can keep looking out for Survivor 48 videos. I put one out about episodes 1 and 2. We'll see where these tribes are going, and if I'll get some castaways to talk about that. And we already wrapped up The Traitors. If you haven't watched it, I highly suggest you do. It's a good ride. Mm-hmm. You're bound to like someone on there. And watch our recaps. Other than that, I think that's it. Please follow Black Bi Reality across all socials in case there's something that will pop up. And other than that, guys, I hope you feel visible and stay visible today. Bye.